Okay, evening everyone. My name is Duncan, for those of you who don't know. We're going to be talking about dating tonight. Yeah, some of you are excited. So the way we're going to structure it, okay, so that's my wife Anae over there, and our daughter is somewhere around there causing nonsense. So we're going to be doing a bit of tag team here. And talking about dating and various aspects around there. And then afterwards, we're going to do a bit of a Q&A. So I know you guys did something on Wednesday, a relationship talk. I wasn't there, so I obviously don't know what was said. So maybe some of the stuff is the same, maybe not, whatever. Okay. Right, so when we talk about dating, there's often like this massive aura around dating. It's like, you know, if you've reached the pinnacle of relationships, you know, type of thing, it's like this huge thing, dating. And, you know, especially in church and Christian circles, sometimes there's massive pressure on dating and people dating, and there's a lot of misconceptions that are believed, okay, through Hollywood. Yeah, the movies that we watch, all right, through what the world tells us, all those type of things shape how we view dating, okay? And, you know, what I've seen a lot in Rondebosch now, okay, and also actually a lot of other shofar churches, and I think what I see is there's a lot of fear around dating, okay? People are scared to date, right, because of the amount of pressure that they seem to be under when they're dating, okay, or when they're looking for a a dating partner, what do you call it, whatever, huh? A date, yes, okay. So there's a lot of fear around it, okay, fear of making mistakes, all right, and that's the one thing. The other one is kind of a good thing. You know, people want to do the right thing, okay? They want to glorify God through their dating and that type of thing, which is amazing, and we should be doing that. But often it kind of also causes us to be a bit scared to do something, okay? And I'll explain what I mean a bit later about that. Okay, so the first thing about dating is that, you know, I'm not standing here and I'm going to give you like the five stages of dating and how you should approach it and, you know, what restaurants you should go to and, you know, what color flowers, you know, because we all know that everyone is different, all right, and every relationship is different, okay? So the way that it approaches or the way that people approach dating is different, and that's amazing, and that's God's design, okay? God made us all different, okay? So the way that, I almost want to say the way that we date is slightly different as well, okay? However, saying that, there are certain, and the other thing as well, which makes it a little bit more difficult, is that in the Bible, there are no examples of dating, okay? Now, that doesn't make dating necessarily wrong, all right? But the approach in the Bible, some of the girls might be thinking hallelujah here, but the approach in the Bible was very different, okay? There was no dating, all right? Often the guy would go, hey, I like you, you're my wife now, kind of thing, you know? And so it was a little bit different, not all the time like that, but a lot of the time, okay? So there was a different method there, all right? So we don't have specific dating biblical examples, okay? But there are certain principles in the Bible, obviously, that we can apply to dating, okay? And when we do that, all right, and when our heart is to, through this whole process, to glorify God, then I believe we can take away a lot of the pressure and a lot of this huge aura around dating and whatever it is, okay? Because ultimately, what is the purpose of dating? Well, actually, we're going to come back to that, but I think everyone would know, All right, now. I'm wondering if... Can you just call Anae there? She's going to... So we're going to start off, and Anae, because girls are better at telling stories than guys, generally. She's going to start off by telling our story, just so that you know where we come from and you kind of... Whatever. Yes. So I'm going to go away now so that I don't have to... No.
Story. I know my story. Okay, well, the way we dated, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so I'm obviously Duncan's wife, and I'm just going to quickly tell you my version of the story. There's not going to be time for him to also share his. Some of you probably know it already, because I've told it before. Can't you hear me? I don't like this thing, but okay, cool. Okay, so, I dated somebody before I met Duncan for 5 years. It wasn't a good relationship, and it was quite broken. And so we broke up, and I needed a lot of healing and things. Obviously needed a lot of healing. Anyway, so I met Duncan, and then, I liked him, but, I knew. I actually still was dating my previous boyfriend. my New Year's resolution was to break up with my ex, and then I had to do something to force myself. So then I met Duncan, and I'm like, okay, I need to break up with this guy still. So I did that, praise the Lord. And then, so then I asked the Lord, please protect my heart, number one. And number two, please, you need to heal me, please, because I'm too broken to go into a relationship with anybody else. I actually hated guys, except my dad. Then when I saw people, like a couple together or whatever, I'm like, oh, poor girl, she just doesn't know yet. That's how I was. Anyway, so then the Lord, it worked out that we were in the same circle of friends. And every time for the first 3 or 4 months, every time we'll go after church, we'll all go to like Spur and have a milkshake or whatever, but a group of us, then either I can't go or Duncan can't go. So for the first, I think, 4 months, it was like that. And then what happened? I can't remember I can remember, but I'm not going to tell you all of it. So then we started seeing each other in circles of friends the whole time with other people. Because for me, I knew that if I'm going to spend alone time with any guy, I will probably fall in love with him. Just because I'm so broken. And I struggle to not talk about everything I'm feeling at the same time. And he doesn't need to know all of that at the first date. Anyway, so just to protect myself and my heart, I never went on dates one-on-one with any guy for that whole time. Anyway, so then at the end, that was in January 2009, 8, I can't remember, but somewhere there. And then at the end of the year, we were also a whole group of friends going away for a holiday. And then I drove with Duncan. We went to Transkei. So I drove with Duncan and another guy up and down. And we planned to have a road trip down. Some of the people had to go to work earlier or whatever. So in any case, then it ended up that Duncan came with me. Everybody else pulled out of the road trip. It's just the two of us left. We're not going to go together alone. So then we ended up at my parents' place. And then in that time was the only time and the first time that we were kind of alone. We were with my parents, but he's my guest, so I kind of need to spend time with him. So in any case, so just after that, well, like that was like basically a year after we met, and then we started dating. So when we started dating, Duncan told me how he felt about me and all of that, and I thought he asked me out, but he was actually just telling me how he's feeling. And then we spoke about like boundaries, this is what we're going to do and this is what we're not going to do and all things like that. And then I'm like, okay, I'll be your girlfriend. Anyway, so that's basically what happened. Emma's excited. If it wasn't for that, she wouldn't have been here. So anyway, so basically, Duncan just told me a few kind of things that was important for him to do in a relationship. Like, we had boundaries, like we're not going to kiss, we are not going to sleep over at each other, so ours is alone, we're not going to go on holidays alone, nothing like that, because we want to stay pure for when we get married. And if we don't work out, I still want to be pure for my husband. So, and then about a year to 2 years after that, we got married. First engaged and then married. So yeah, it felt like a lot of rambling, but that's our story.
Okay, so that's our story. I'm not going to add anything. Okay, so let's start. So basically what I'm going to structure, how I'm going to structure it is, when we're looking at dating, there's kind of two stages in dating, in a sense, okay? The first stage is what I call the on the prowl stage, okay? That's the time when the eyes are open and the, you know, we're looking around, okay? And the next stage is obviously then the dating stage. And then there's stages after that, but we're not going to carry on with that. We're just looking at dating, okay? But the first thing I want to start off with, okay, so I'm going to, during the talk, I'm going to have a couple of myth busters that we often believe that shapes the way that we view dating and how it works and all that. Okay, so the first myth buster. I've got no slides here, guys, so I'm giving the slide person a night off here. So the first myth buster is that there is no the one. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, okay? All right? There is no the one, okay? And this is kind of, I think, a kind of a Hollywood concept, all right? Where, you know, all of us are looking for the one, all right? And what I mean by the one, it's the person that we think is going to fully complement us, okay? It's going to make us whole. It's going to make us complete. You know, we're going to be completely in love with this person. Everything's going to be sunshine and roses, and we'll never have a problem again in our lives. Okay? All right. It doesn't work like that. All right. I'm really sorry to have to tell you that. But the reason why I'm starting off with that is because when we have that idea or that concept, it often shapes how we go about from the beginning, how we approach it. Okay, because if we've got that concept of there is the one out there for me, okay, then we start looking for the one, all right? And then someone comes along our path and we think, maybe this is the one, all right? And then we go about and then something happens, something about that person maybe you don't like or whatever it is, something small. Then you go, ah, no, can't be the one, you know? Then, okay, next one, all right. Now we're looking for the one. Then we see another one. Maybe. And then, I don't like their toenails or something like that. No, then it's next one. Okay? And so sometimes, you know, we look over some very, some maybe future marriage partners. Okay? Just because this concept that person has to be perfectly suited to me. Okay? And like we said, there is no such person, okay? And often the saying is instead of looking for the perfect one, or trying to find the perfect one, start with being the perfect one, okay? Or the perfect partner. So instead of having a focus of, I've got to look for the one, all right? Start trying to become the perfect person, okay? Because I can guarantee you, and the reason also, there's another reason why this is so dangerous, or so, you know, why we shouldn't think of this, is that we think that, if we think there is the one, we think that person is going to, subconsciously, we're saying that person will make me happy, okay? And that person will give me a good life. And if that doesn't work out, you know, suddenly we have fights or whatever, then we go, well, this can't be the one because this is not what I had in mind of the one, okay? And I can guarantee you, all right, when you get married, you fight, okay? You don't always agree. There's good times and there's bad times, okay? And that's all part of life. That's all part of marriage, all right? And it doesn't mean, for instance, if I have a fight with Anae, that she is not the one for me or that I missed the one or something like that, okay? That is not true, all right? None of us are perfect, okay? And the person who completes us and makes us happy, in fact, gives us joy, is obviously Jesus. Okay, no, there is not one person on this planet, even if it was the one, who could completely satisfy us. Okay, so we also then start putting this unrealistic pressure on someone else to make us happy. Okay, which is unfair, because that person will fail. All right, no matter how perfect they seem, they will fail because they are an imperfect person. Okay, so that's the first thing. All right, now. So we're now in the on the prowl stage. All right. Now, the first thing about the on the prowl stage that I want to say is I want everyone to relax. Okay. Because this stage is where a lot of people trip up. Okay. The first thing, okay, I'm going to first speak to the girls here, all right? Girls, allow guys to take you on dates, okay? Amen. All right, I'm glad some people agree here. All right, so girls, it does not mean you have said yes to going out to them. It does not mean you have said yes to marrying them or whatever it is, okay? Just allow guys to take you on dates, okay? I'm going to get to the guys just now, don't worry, all right? Because if you are a guy, okay, and you go and ask a girl on a date, you have plucked up a lot of courage for most guys, all right? And often, you know, girls just, I don't know, whatever the reason is, but there's a what we call a hit for six, a bat, and the guy goes away with his tail between his legs, and he's got to try and pluck up the courage maybe in a little later to ask another girl, but he's got a reference of the time past when he got out the door, and he's a bit scared, and he gets more scared and more scared, and that's normal. Okay, So first thing, girls, allow guys to take you on dates, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you can just, you know, say you have to say yes to everyone. That's not what I'm saying here, okay? This is the one thing, by the way, I forgot to say this. You know, that I feel often we're at this one side of a pendulum where we are trying so hard to find, you know, not make a mistake, you know, try and do the things God's way and do the right thing, and that's great. Okay, but we're in the one way, the one pendulum, one side of the pendulum, you know. But then what often happens us human beings is when there's something like that, we want to rectify it, then we swing it all the way to the other side. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is not that we just, it's not a free-for-all. Okay, that's not what I'm saying here, all right? But I'm wanting to bring the pendulum a little bit more into a balanced view here. Okay, so that's with all that I'm saying here, That's my heart behind it. Okay, so girls, allow guys to take you on dates. All right. That's the first thing. All right. Then, guys, if you ask a girl on a date, okay, she has not said she was going out with you, okay? She has not said yes to being your marriage partner, okay? Relax. She's only said yes to a date. That's it. Okay, I know you might like that girl, all right, but keep it in for a bit, all right. That's the first thing, guys. Okay, second thing, please, guys, if that girl says yes to a date, please don't take her to this romantic restaurant with roses and candlelights and, okay, too much pressure, all right. Don't do it, all right. I would suggest the best way is to go and do something fun, all right? Okay? Also, a good idea, by the way, guys, as well, is to, like with Anae and I, to do things in groups, okay? It takes all the pressure off. If you're doing things in groups together, friends, all right, then there is no more pressure, okay? There's no more, like, I have to make conversation and I have to make this work and whatever. Okay? So that's a couple of things in terms of dating or looking for the right person. Okay. Now, again, in this stage, girls and guys, or more probably for the girls, you know, if you've been on a date and you like, you know, he's a nice guy, but I don't really think this is going to work. That's fine. Okay. If it didn't work out, then didn't work out, and you know, talk to the guy or whatever it is. Okay, now, a quick thing as well about the friends of these people who are going on a date here, okay? Please as well, as far as you can, I've been guilty of this a lot as well, but don't go like to the guy, hey, yeah, I see you going out to that girl, how did it go? Okay, because that also puts on unnecessary pressure on now the guy's got to perform here, you know? And if he doesn't get the girl, he's failed, all right? Then there's problems. So just let them be, all right? Let them be, let it go, okay? Just relax. That's the main thing, all right? Girls and guys, just, you know, get to know each other, all right? It's fine if you go on a date with someone and it doesn't work out, all right? There's no failure in that, okay? A lot of people think that. All right, so now you're doing the on the prowl stage. You've gone out on a few dates. You're starting to like this person. You're getting what you call the vibes going. Okay, the vibes are coming. All right, from both sides. Okay, now you've got to start making decisions on dating and that type of thing. Okay. By the way, I just see Blessing in there. Blessing is a good person to date, girls. Hey, Blessing. That's it. Check out those muscles, eh? Okay. Anyway, that was a bit of a free one for you girls. Okay. So when you're looking at dating, okay, this is what type of things must you be looking at if you want to date someone? Okay, now remember, and this is where a lot of people subconsciously go wrong, dating does not equal marriage. Okay, if you're dating someone, you are not married to them. Okay, meaning that it's not a forever thing. If you date someone and you realize when you are dating, this is not going to work out, that's fine. Okay, you have not failed as a person, you've not failed as a Christian. If you know, date someone and it doesn't work out, okay? There's a lot of people that have this idea, all right? And I must be careful here because I don't want to skew it completely. But a lot of people only want to date their future marriage partner. So they only want to go out with one person. That's the person they're going to marry, and then they're going to marry that person, okay? Now, that's fine. It's a very good idea to have or a goal to have, okay, if that's from the Lord, okay? So some people get very super spiritual with dating. Okay. Now, there's nothing wrong with being spiritual about dating. God is involved. Relationships and marriage is God's design. Okay. So, yes, he must be involved. All right. And yes, you must have peace and that type of thing. But sometimes people get, you know, they think they've got to have like 3 visitations from heaven before they can ask someone out on a date or something like that. Okay. All right. So, yes, you must definitely find out from the Lord. Yes, you must, you know, God wants to be involved. All right. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. All of those type of things. Okay. But don't get super spiritual about certain things, because often there's a lot of emotions, all the time, there's a lot of emotions involved when dating. Okay, and sometimes what can happen is people can misinterpret their feelings to what God's supposedly saying. All right. And I'll tell you what the best way to counter that is. I'll tell you more. Actually, let me tell you now. So the best way to counter it is to ask those closest to you what they think about certain things. All right. God will often speak through other people. All right. And your friends, your close friends, all right, even sometimes family as well. Okay, not always, but often family. So ask those Christian friends, you know, if there's someone you like, you know, ask your accountability partner or those in your small group, or if you have that type of relationship. Ask their advice, because there a lot of the, and it's so weird how other people can see something so clearly, and sometimes the actual people involved can't. All right, where some people, their friends can see this relationship is not good. Even maybe the two are Christians, okay, but something about this is not right. Okay, it doesn't mean any two of them are bad people. Just something's not right here, and people can see it or feel it. All right. And that's especially when there's emotions involved, that is a very good soundboard, or whatever you want to call it, to bounce ideas off, in a sense. Okay, so ask your friends, get your friends involved. Don't push them away. If they tell you something you don't like, listen to them. Okay, you don't have to necessarily every time follow them, but listen to what they say. Okay, because often they can see certain blind spots. All right. So, who do you date? Okay. Obviously, you need to like them, okay? And you need to enjoy spending time with them. All right? Those are the first, I mean, that's kind of obvious. All right? If you don't like them and you don't enjoy spending time, then why are you dating? Okay. So that's the most, I mean, that's not a very spiritual answer, but you know, that's the reality in the beginning, okay? Obviously, another thing is you must have inner peace, okay? God will give you peace about certain things, all right? But that's another one. Obviously, and this is a non-negotiable, if you are a Christian, your partner or that you're dating, whatever potential, whatever you want to call it, must be saved. Okay, this is where I've seen a lot of people go wrong, is they will look at a guy or a girl and they'll say, oh, I love spending time with them. I enjoy their company, you know, I like them, but they're not saved. But, you know, I believe that if I start dating this person, then I can get them to church and I can get them saved. Okay, I can tell you 95% of the time that is not going to happen, all right? In fact, the other person is probably going to drag you down, all right? And not that that person is anything wrong again, but there are very important values that are differing here, okay? So that's a big one. Right, now, for some people, God might have given you a word. That is great, all right? If you've got a word about something, all right, about a person, that's awesome, okay? But you don't necessarily have to have a word from the Lord that this is the person you need to date. Okay, that's another thing a lot of people they really want their word and, you know, some kind of sign from heaven that they need to go out with this person. It's not the case. Okay, it can happen, and it does happen like that as well, but that, you know, it's different. Everything is different. Relationships are different. How God speaks to us is different. So don't put that pressure on yourself as well. All right. There was something I wanted to say and I forgot. Anyway, it'll come back to me. All right. So now we're going to look at the dating stage. Okay. So now you've seen someone you liked. Okay. There's good vibes happening there. All right. The guy plucks up the guy, take note, plucks up the courage and asks the girl to get a little bit more serious here, okay? And that's great. Now you are what you officially call dating, okay? You can hold hands and stuff like that. That's okay. Now, so it's the nice stage. It's the lovey-dovey stage. It's great. Okay, so again, like we said in the beginning, there are certain, there's no one way of dating and how you must approach it, okay, because we are all different, all right? But again, there are certain principles that we can apply. All right, now, why do we date? What is the purpose of dating? Is it just so that we can hang out and, you know, say I've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever? Why are we dating? Let's get something from the crowd here. Something from the audience. Why are we dating? What is the purpose of dating? Get to know each other, but why?
To see if you can potentially marry
them. Right. So you are trying to get to know that person in a kind of a more intimate way, all right, but not too intimate, but a closer way so that you can see whether that person has the potential to be your marriage partner. Okay, that's why we date. It's not there so that, you know, you can have a girlfriend or boyfriend. Okay? So there is a plan with dating. That's the first thing. Dating is not just a thing we do. There's a specific purpose and a plan why we're doing that. And girls, and this is especially true of guys, if the guy doesn't have a real plan and he's like, you know, I don't really know what's happening here, you know, get him to get a plan or something like that. Okay, he mustn't just, you know, often you see like guys and girls, you know, they, I must be careful what about I say here. But the guy's got no, he doesn't really know what's happening. He doesn't really have a plan. He doesn't really, you know, he's just kind of come as it goes and we'll just see what happens type of thing. No, dating is not just like, you know, let's just have a good time and see what happens. Okay, there's a specific purpose to it, and that's to see whether you are suitable for marriage. Okay? Now, again, now that might sound like, ooh, that's quite a big thing. It's not, well, marriage is a big thing, okay? It mustn't be taken lightly. But when you are dating, you are not married. That's the first myth buster, okay? You are not married when you date, okay? And what that means, firstly, is there are certain rules in marriage that do not apply with dating, okay? And a lot of people, a lot of Christians sometimes get this mixed up, okay? Guys, for instance, and some of the girls' hairs might stand on end here, but when we talk about submission in marriage, okay, it does not apply in dating, okay? Girls, you do not have to submit to your boyfriend, all right? As in a marriage relationship. Okay, what you must see, girls, or look for is whether you would want to, whether is this person is someone that, you know, I could submit under, you know, and because they've got the same vision, we'll get to that later. All right, but you don't have to submit and act like marriage partners in the beginning or when you are dating. Okay, it's not needed because it's not a marriage yet. Okay, so this stage is there to test whether that person is suitable for marriage. Okay, so what type of things do you look for in your marriage partner? All right, or in a potential marriage partner? Now, again, guys and girls, when we were looking at this dating stage, okay, if we go through, and if you guys are going through all of this and in the dating stage, you realize this person is not the person I would want to marry, that is 100% fine. Okay. And if you decide to break up, you are not a failure. I said it before as a person. I had this, that was what I wanted to say. I had this pressure on myself where all I wanted to do is date one person, and that person would be my wife one day. Okay. Then I started going out with someone. So I waited the whole time. I did not, you know. And then I went out with someone. Now I thought, okay, now this must be the one. Okay, it wasn't an A, all right? And you know, going through, we went out for about 6 months. And through that time, I started realizing this person's not my wife, all right? And I started feeling like I was like, you know, a lot of pressure happening here. Suddenly, I was like, I'm a failure. Because I've now, you know, I'm going out with this person who I don't see as my wife, you know, and I would try to like look through the bad stuff, but the stuff that I didn't kind of like or whatever, and keep going, and then I eventually realized this is not going to work, okay, and we broke up, and it took me quite a long time to kind of get over that, because I had that view, I had that vision that, you know, that one person is going to be my wife, okay, who I date. And again, like I said, that's fine if that is your view and that is what God has told you, you know, you are only going to date one person that's going to be your wife. But it doesn't have to be for all of us, okay? And if you realize that this person is not my marriage partner, it is fine to break up, okay? Provided you've applied these rules. If you do it in the right way, if you approach dating God's way, then what happens is that you protect the other person's heart, okay? And you, as much as possible, you protect the people's hearts from being broken, okay? Because you often hear when people break up that, you know, both parties or one party's heart is completely shattered in this and they take years to get over it, okay? And often that the reason that happens is because the approach to dating has been a little bit wrong and certain expectations have obviously not been met and that type of thing, okay? So the first thing is, obviously, as Christians, you need to treat the person that you are dating as a brother or sister, okay, in Christ, okay? You need to respect that person, all right, who you're dating, okay? Think of, often, a good way of thinking of this is, if this person is not my wife or my husband, but actually my best friend's future wife or husband, how would they like me to treat that person now? Okay, think of it like that, all right? With respect, okay? Certain things that need to happen, okay? Now, a big question I always get asked, is always asked in dating is, how far is too far, okay, when you're dating, all right? And I believe as a Christian, that is the wrong question to ask. Because when you ask that question, it's implying, you know, how far can I kind of push the boundaries? You know, how far can I take it? And what that's saying is, it's actually a selfish question, actually. Because it's like, how much can I get out of this person? All right. The question should be, and Ephesians 5 verse 3 gives us the answer to this. Okay. Anybody got their Bibles here? Does anyone want to read it? I've got it here, but I want to get you guys involved. Tanash, you want to try? Verse 3. Let's move it. Okay, so another version translation says, let there not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Okay, so what that is saying is that even if there's like it's even close to something that could be termed as sexually immoral, whatever it is, it should not be even named among you guys and among us, all right? So when we are looking at, and when you are thinking of those type of things in terms of, and this is obviously in terms of boundaries, you should rather be thinking, how much can I respect that other person, okay? You know, what would be pleasing, what would give glory to God, all right? And if we are looking and looking at trying to respect the other person as far as possible, to look out for their well-being, all right, to treat them as a brother or sister, then your heart is protected, okay? And then you have a certain expectation. So the other thing, guys and girls, is to talk about why are you dating and what's the plan going forward, guys? Okay. So you've got to ask, you've got to be talking about those things, because you can't just assume things when you're dating. Okay. If the purpose of dating is one day maybe getting married, you've got to talk about that. Okay? And I would say, guys, this is kind of your forte here, as hard as it might be, is you've got to take the lead with this. You've got to take the initiative with saying, okay, where are we standing? What are the boundaries we're gonna apply? All right. And obviously the girls must have a say, but the guys must initiate this talk. What is the plan going forward? Okay, how do we see it? And reevaluate after a certain time and have a chat. Okay, because the purpose is to one day maybe get married. Okay, so you just can't go like, oh, we're going to date and we're just going to see how it goes and get married one day. Okay. And it might sound kind of almost like religious here in a sense, but, you know, we don't want to just be randomly dating just because we feel like it. Okay, let's have a plan and a purpose and a goal in mind. I'm sounding very engineering-like here. But okay, then finally, quickly, before I'm already over my time, What are you looking for in a marriage partner once you're dating? Okay, now, again, this is different for every single person because no one is the same, and obviously no marriage partner is the same. Okay, but there's certain things, there's certain principles that you need to be looking out for. Firstly, as a Christian, that person must love God first. Okay, because in a marriage, if the two parties in a marriage do not love God first, even though they will stay married, their marriage is not going to reach a level that God intended, okay? Because what starts happening is one person looks to the other person for certain fulfillment, which that person cannot give, and then you start getting expectations that are not met, and anger and resentment, and, you know, and then you start having a marriage that is not reaching the levels that it could have. Okay, for the Lord. Okay, so the first thing is that person must love God first and find their fulfillment in God first before you. Okay. Second thing is the person must respect you, obviously, as a person. All right. If there's no respect, okay, then you got to think twice. Okay. And obviously, this goes without saying, girls, if a guy ever hits you, you walk out that door straight away. There's no questions asked there, okay? Because that person, then that guy does not respect you at all, okay? Doesn't mean if you have a fight, then that you know, that's a different story. Yeah. Okay, the other thing you've got to look for is, does that person have a similar vision / calling / heart to you, okay? Because, you know, people change. In marriage, you're not the same person when you get married to when you are 20 years married. But generally, your vision and your heart and kind of your calling is the same. So look for people who have that similar kind of vision and heart and calling. Okay, it doesn't have to be exactly the same. But if you are going in, even if you get on very well with that person, if you're going in two opposite directions, it's not going to work. Okay. If one person is called to be a missionary in South America, in the Amazon or whatever it is, and you feel you need to be here, then it's not going to work, okay? So those type of things, and you've got to talk about that, okay? You've got to talk to what do you think your vision and your calling is in life, okay? Because Often people don't talk about this, and then they get married, and then there's a problem. Because once you're married, there's no going back. All right, and then stuff starts getting, All right, and then obviously the last thing is, and I often kind of look at this is, do you become a better person? Even, do you grow closer to the Lord by going out with this person? All right? Because there's some people that, your relationship with the Lord, and this is often a good indicator of whether God is in it or not, is do you become a better person in a sense? But I'm talking more about like Christian now. Okay, your relationship with the Lord. Is it growing deeper? Is it, are you seeking God more? Are you a better person with this person around? Or does this person kind of drain the life out of you in a sense? Okay. Those are some of the principles. I might have left out a few, but those are the ones that I kind of think are important. Okay. So, that's pretty much it. So what I want to do is, I have already run over my time, and Armand's going to kill me. But if that's all right, Armand, then we can do a few questions, if anyone has. And then we're going to quickly pray a little bit, and then we're done. So are there any questions? I'll try and answer as best as I can. I'm not the ultimate guru here. James is over there. James, maybe you should come up front here. Eh? Yeah, you.
I just quickly want to add something. I heard Duncan said about you have to be the same heart, calling, that thing. So it's fine if your calling are not like, your example was the one person want to go on missions in India, and the other one, I didn't listen to the whole thing, and the other one is want to stay here but have the same heart of missions. Then you have similar calling. Then the wife just submit to wherever the husband want to go. But if your calling and heart and all of that's like completely opposite worlds and you can't see the two coming together, then it might be problematic. Because you can't go away from what the Lord has, or walk away from what the Lord has called you to do, and also not Him. But the Lord can call the two of you to something else. So don't over-spiritualize that, but think through it. Just have a balance in. That's what I think.
Okay, any questions? Yes. From the married person.
Christian dating, because Owen and I were together before we were saved.
Okay.
So, I wonder, when you're single in church, and you're a girl, and you like a guy, you've had your eyes on him for a while, or whatever, then you said it's always, the ball is always on the guy's court to ask the girl out. But what if you're the girl, you're like, I like him, and you just have to wait to watch and hope that maybe
that's a. Yeah. I don't. So, in that. That's a very good question. It's a very good question, and it's So I would say, I don't know if I'm right here. All right. I always look at the story of Ruth and what's his Boaz. So, Ruth liked Boaz, I think, obviously. And she kind of just nudged him along a little bit, okay? Made him aware of her. And by making him aware of her, he suddenly his eyes, because guys sometimes are slow, all right? We, in relationship, we just like, whatever, and then, So we sometimes, our eyes open a little bit later. So sometimes I would say, I could be wrong here, but sometimes, just, and in whatever way you think is appropriate, just kind of open his eyes a little bit. And maybe it means, going in a group of, with, inviting a whole group of friends just because of that one guy and go and do something or whatever it is. I don't know. You think of the method, I think, yeah, no, I, yeah. I was one of those guys who needed a bit of nudging. Let's call it Christian manipulation. Yes. So, yes, yeah. But read Ruth's story very carefully. Don't, like, yeah. Do it the Christian way. I don't know if that's what, do you think?
First of all, just to add to their story, it took a holiday to the Eastern Cape for Duncan to, which I had to organize. I think to almost be preemptive even to that situation from happening, I mean, I agree fully with what Duncan said, is I want to encourage guys rather from the perspective of stop praying now into it already beforehand so that the Lord opens up your eyes for who the lady is. I read a book by a pastor called John Eldridge, Wild at Heart. I don't know. I only came towards the end of the sermon in now, so I don't know if Duncan might have even made reference to it. It's a very good book for men, Christian men, to read. And one of the things that he mentions in there is, guys, if you fight for that lady's heart, you're going to cherish it so much more. So by that, basically, what that means is stop praying into it now already so that the lady doesn't have to present herself. Because equally so, there's a little bit of that risk that the guy's not going to cherish the lady if he didn't have to fight for her heart.
Cool. But in saying that, I still think the actual, like, once you've nudged and whatever goes, yeah, that the guy must still then take the lead from there. Okay, yeah. Please. Yeah. I think that's the right way of doing it, personally. Okay, any other questions? I welcome questions from non-married people as well. Yes. Good question. When are they ready to date? Okay, I think it's a difficult one. Obviously, in terms of maturity, I think in terms of your spiritual maturity, there should be. It's a really difficult. I don't know. Anae, have you got an answer? I don't really.
So if you want to date because you want to, what I actually want to say is to date is not going to make you whole. So two broken people isn't going to give you, or half people won't give you one whole one in a relationship. So make sure that you've dealt with whatever you can deal with before you start dating. Kind of sort yourself a little bit out before you go into dating, because if there's any, like, I told you that I was quite broken before we started dating. And I remember the December holiday before we went on that holiday together, all of us. I told the Lord, okay, Lord, what next? And then we started dating just after that. Because I think I dealt with everything I could on my own. But the moment we started dating, a whole lot of other things came out. Just because now it's a different guy, and I don't know, the Lord, you can't deal with everything before you're starting to date. I don't know if it makes sense. Does it make sense? Just, yeah. So, like, I won't be able to deal with the way I relate with men, or with a boyfriend without having a boyfriend. If I needed healing in that space, I needed a boyfriend to heal, to help me heal, get healed. Yeah.
So the answer is, there's no actual answer. There's certain things that you have to have in place, like what Anae said, but you're never going to be perfect for dating. Like, they're always, no one's going to be perfect until they go to Jesus. So don't think you have to be absolutely perfect, but there are certain things, like Anae said, that need to be healed and whole before you can start dating. So it's kind of like an up in the air answer, but that's pretty much. And you should find out from the Lord, actually, what those things are.
Sorry, I was confronted with that same question years ago. I'm happily married now for the past 3 years. But before I could even go into a relationship with my wife, I had to deal with a whole lot of things myself. But one of the things that really helped me was to have an accountability partner that we could pray together about that. And so some of us have some real issues to deal with. So each situation is going to be unique. So like Duncan says, there's no clear-cut answer that's going to be generic for everybody here. But for you as an individual, there would be a more clear-cut answer if you are accountable to somebody that is solid and mature in the Lord. And that was something that really helped me a lot at that time.
Cool. I think we've only got one time for one more question. Yes. I'm missing something here. I don't know what.
I was in a relationship before we dated for 5 years. And I dated that guy that long because I was sure we were going to get married. And then, unluckily, I didn't hear the Lord's voice very clearly on the previous guy. Anyway, so when we started dating, when he told me he likes me and all of that, I told him, after a year, we need to decide, do you want to get married to me or not? Because I'm not wasting another 5 years of my life waiting or not being honest with myself about the fact that we're working or it's not working. So when we got close to a year of dating, just before that, Duncan told me, I know that you're going to be my wife. Well, I think you're going to be my wife. But I don't feel the time is right now. So then I said, I agree with him. And we left it. And then it took very long. So I had to be I had to have a lot of patience. But everybody's story is different. I came out of my background with this guy that I wasn't honest with. And Duncan was like, he just takes long to make any decision, and I'm quicker. So with us, he took long to ask me to marry him. We got married within 10 weeks. Don't do that. But and I didn't. We had a pure relationship. There was no babies involved. So it depends on the personalities. It depends on the people, and you need to don't pressurize yourself about that.
I think quickly, there's always going to be that pressure, unfortunately. But the key is just to know what your vision is and talk with the two of you have the same vision and the same kind of heart and whatever towards it, then you know, you're just gonna have to brush off the other stuff, you know. And that's why we have these type of talks, to try and take the pressure a little bit off from everyone, but unfortunately it's probably still gonna be there to a certain extent. So then, if the two of you have got the right heart, the right vision, the same direction, whatever it is, then that's fine. You know, people can say what they want, and that's their own opinion. Okay. Or they must just not say it. Yes. People don't say it. Okay. All right. Just smile and wave. Okay. Okay. Let's quickly stand, and we're gonna pray. Okay. Let's close our eyes. Okay, Lord, we thank you for your heart, Lord. We thank you that, Father, you designed relationships, Lord. It's your ultimate design, Lord. And so we know that to do it the right way, Lord, we need to follow what you say about it, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for relationships. We thank you for the gift that they are. And yeah, we thank you that your heart is for relationships and ultimately marriage one day for everyone, Lord, or for those of you that are called, Lord. And yeah, we just, yeah. What I wanted to pray for people tonight is, and I'm not going to call you up, so I just want you to raise your hand. If you in the past have been hurt in relationships, you've been in a relationship or you've tried to get in a relationship or whatever the situation is, but through relationship or through trying to date someone or whatever it is, you've got hurt, and that is keeping you back from doing anything further, okay? Or you're scared of going into something again. You're scared of being hurt again, okay? Now, that's not God's heart for you to be hurt, all right? And what his heart is for you to be healed. And so I want to pray for you, for anyone that has past hurts in, I'm talking about dating relationships here, that are keeping you back. In fact, any kind of hurts that are keeping you back from dating or pursuing someone or whatever it is. If that's you, or if you've got anything like that, just raise your hand, not to me. I just want an indication, or I want you to indicate to the Lord that you're open for healing. Okay. All right, thanks, guys. I'm going to just pray for you. Put your hands down. Okay, Lord, we just want to pray for those people, Father. We thank you, Father, for your Father's heart. And thank you, Lord, that you are a good Father, and that, yeah, Lord, when we bring our hurts and our pains and our past failures to you, Lord, you heal them, Lord, because you're a good Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you take our pain, Lord, and you're so gentle, Lord, with us, Lord, and you restore us. And I pray for every single one of these people that have had those past hurts, Lord. And I pray that you would, Lord, work in their hearts even now, Father God. Heal their hearts, Lord, in only a way that you can, Lord. Thank you that you are the perfect healer as well, Lord. And emotionally, Lord, and everything, Father, you heal, Father. And I pray for their hearts, Lord. I pray that you would heal their hearts, that they would be whole and just ready again, Lord, to fulfill what, not only in dating, but in their lives, Lord, what you've called them to do, Father. And we thank you that you begin whatever work you've started, Lord, you will complete it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will complete every single healing that needs to happen here in this regard, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. If you've got any other questions, you're welcome to come and chat to us.